I will not be boring in this afternoon time. In 1950s Czechoslovakia, traditional folk music was officially presented as the most important resource of national musical identity. Folk or folk-inspired music was almost omnipresent. Although this intensity had subsided in the following decades, the role of the folk music as a symbol of national identity remained strong until the end of the communist rule in 1989. While the ideology of nationalism used folk music as its tool, it also influenced the way this music was collected, researched and presented. I would like to present examples from two closely intertwined areas to document this: folk music research and folk music revival and public presentation. Closer look can reveal how the idea of state-promoted nationalism influenced the ways researchers handled and presented their findings, and how the traditional music was revived on stage or in media by folk music and dance ensembles. A folk song on its journey from its collection by the researcher in the field through the publication to a stylized production on stage or in a film was subjected to various subtle or direct manipulations. When we look at the relation between a nation, nationalism and folk music or folk culture in general, we can see that the process of collecting and archiving plays a crucial role here. It is exactly through these acts that music turns from a process or an event into an object that can be classified and presented as belonging to this or that group defined as ethnic, social or other. Or in its original content, the folk song is something that can easily change and travel from place to place. I remember that a few years ago I was here in the same building on a conference on a different topic, and I played an example of music recorded in Western Ukraine, a song that also had Ukraine and Czech text as well. And there were people from different countries, and there was someone from Poland telling that, okay, this is also a Polish song, and somebody from Hungary telling that this is also a Hungarian song. So songs like to travel long distances, but it is only through collecting and archiving and description it is that they can gain a national identity or regional identity. The interest in the folk song coincides with the rising national awareness in Europe during the 19th century, and it has been always somehow connected to politics. When we look at the issue of nationalism during the communist era, we have to face a paradox, which was described by Richard Ruskin in his keynote yesterday. Communism as a political idea was strongly connected to its internationalism, and we can find many proclamations about brotherhood of nations, and to mention the most obvious musical statement, the Internationale, the anthem of the socialist movement. Indeed, the nationalism was officially and in the early phase of communism more or less also practically condemned as a bourgeois ideology. But it was not long before communist leaders in the Soviet Union and elsewhere saw that the national identity is something that they can and need to work with. It was closely connected to the groups of people they were addressing and from whom were they gaining their legitimacy. And while in the early years artists supporting the communist idea experimented with avant-garde forms and techniques, soon the communism started to call for the art that combined more or less 19th century aesthetics with strengthened focus on folk music. Of course, the communist ideologies were aware of this paradox and tried to somehow reconcile it. We have heard the quotation of Stalin about the music that should be national in form and socialist in context, and Czech ideologists have also reflected it, and one of the most important personalities in Czech formation of folk culture or views on the folk culture was Zdeněk Nejedlý, a musicologist and also a minister of culture for several years, and he has written in his text from already 1945 that the culture relying on the people and flowing from the people cannot be other than national. I want to briefly mention the still widespread misconception that the communists cannot be national, and therefore neither the culture created by them cannot be national when they are an international movement. Of course, the communism is international, and every true communist is international. But the internationalism is not the same as a nationalism, how some people still think. I want to be internationalist. If I want to be internationalist, I necessarily have to be national, although not nationalist. So, the quote from Zdeněk Nejedlý, important personality who formed for several decades the Czech culture. So, I don't think the word a nationalism is normally used, but Nejedlý saw it as something that should describe the negation of the nation, or something where nation is completely missing. So he was presenting internationalism as a something that is based on the harmony of various nations, so the national identity was necessary to be for the formation of international movement. Communist Party used traditional folk music as a tool to justify its actions and to forge connections with the people. To use this tool properly, two things were needed: to collect and classify the music, and to present it in a correct way. In both phases, music can be manipulated to create a desired image of the nation. Because although the communist regime turned to the old-fashioned nationalist sentiments, it needed a new special folk for it, a folk that was purified and remodeled. Of course, nationalism was not absent from the so-called First Republic, which then describes the Czechoslovakia between 1918 and 1938, and from the folklore research of that time. On the contrary, the young state was trying to strengthen its identity, and traditional folk music played an important role in this process. As an example, I can just briefly mention the Phonographic Commission of the Czech Academy of Arts and Sciences, which has produced an impressive collection of traditional folk music and folk dialects recorded between 1929 and 1937, but with clear national bias, omitting all non-Slavonic ethnicities, non-Slavonic groups living in the Republic then. That means Germans, Hungarians, Jews and Gypsies to a certain extent. When somebody wants to work with nationalist sentiments and to manipulate them, two things are necessary to manage. First, it is the strong image of your own nation. The second is the creation of the others. In case of the Czech lands, the others were in the first place Germans. Before the war, there were something between 2 and 3 millions of them. And in many regions, musical cultures of Czech and German villages were influencing each other. That this coexistence was not without problems was probably clear from the case of the Phonographic Commission that I mentioned. But at the time, the lack of interest from the Czech Academy in the German folklore was supplanted by other institutions or by individual efforts, so that the traditions of German-speaking regions were documented and presented. After 1948, the German element became almost non-existent in the folk music research, although there were still approximately 150,000 Germans left in the Republic after the big post-war expulsion, and the similar situation was in Slovakia with Hungarians, but that's another thing. Another ethnic group perceived as the others were Gypsies or Roma people. The view on this group was much more complicated. Large part of Czech Roma population died during the war, and new groups from Slovakia came to Czech, to Bohemia, after the war to take place, often in the former German regions, now depopulated. Since their music had a distinct identity, different from the Czech musical traditions, there were attempts to domesticate their music, to create a new repertoire which would be suitable for the socialist state. So in the 1950s, there were new songs composed in Roma language praising Communist Party of the, or the Soviet Army, for example. We can find such books entitled Cikán zpívá jinak, which means Gypsy sings a different song, which mixes traditional Gypsy songs with this new material. Otherwise, in the post-war Czechoslovakia, it was easy to get an impression of an ethnically homogeneous society with no disturbing element. And in the early 1950s, the new wave of ethnographic and ethnomusicological research began, but with a new direction and new energy. While in the 19th century, researchers were coming from the big cities to the villages to political songs of the peasants to look for the folklore they considered to be endangered and disappearing. In the second part of the 20th century after the war, this folklore research have found a new hero who has replaced the peasant, and it was the worker. The folklore researchers started to focus on detailed study of various regions. In 1950s and 1960s, it was the era of small regions getting intense attention of the teams of scholars. The result of this were large monographs detailing many aspects of the life of the people, including their music. Thanks to the fact that the research was conducted mostly by large institutions with proper archival system, we can today analyze how the process functioned and what kinds of filtering or manipulation were used to create a proper image of the nation. One of the first monographs of this kind was devoted to Kladensko, a region near Prague, which was an important place for coal mining. It is easy to see why the newly formed Institute for Ethnography of the Czech Academy of Sciences chose this place. A miner was the hero of the socialist industry, providing it with the black gold. Kladno had also a reputation of the center of the socialist movement already since the beginning of the 20th century, earning the nickname the Red Kladno. A team of researchers spent quite a long time. It was several visits between 1943 and 1947 among people of Kladensko mines, writing down songs they remembered together with the information where they learned the songs and so on. In short, they conducted a proper ethnomusicological fieldwork. After a few years of preparations, the book was published in 1959 with the subtitle Life and Culture of the People in the Industrial Region. When we read the book, we can get the impression that the miners sang mostly songs about hard work and social injustice. Besides this kind of songs, only a few lyrical and love songs were included in the book. But when we compare the book with the archive and see all the songs collected then, we get a different picture. We shall see a rich assortment of drinking songs, erotic, religious and humorous songs that was collected then, but that were not deemed suitable for publication, and not even a song about a local football team or the impressions from the cinema were deemed suitable for publication. The new folk had to be different and better than the old folk from the times before socialism. It was not allowed to be either vulgar nor religious. Maybe just a few examples of songs that were collected, but not, but this is a typical card from the collections. So, and even some songs that we now consider as being political in the right way for the communists were also found to be probably dangerous, because, for example, to the left, there's a song about a man called Hilsner who killed a girl named Aneshka, and it was reference to a famous affair from the First Republic where a Jewish man named Hilsner was accused of killing a Christian girl, and there was a big political affair including President Masaryk and so on, and there were folk songs about this, and they mostly included anti-Semitic sentiments. And of course, the Communist Republic in 1950s, there were anti-Semitic sentiments, but probably the topic was too hot to be included by this publication. Another song is "The Cinema Has Come to Our Village," and its description of how people watch the movie and what happens in the movie when somebody is falls in love and then killed her and so on. So it was also probably to base topic.
It's better this picture.
But it's interesting topic is on the song to the right, which is about Mandelinka Bramborova, so-called Colorado potato beetle, which was also the important political topic in the 50s, where the United States were accused of sending airplanes with the small beetle that was then thrown or on the fields. I think it was not only in Czechoslovakia, but in other socialist countries too. And so then there were large posters, and, okay, we are going to collect an American beetle. And so this is what the song that begins, Mandelinka Bramborova, it is an American beetle, and when somebody catches in the field, it just puts it in the jar with the poison. So it was also a kind of a political song, but it uses probably too much of an irony and humor, because the political songs that were included in the publications were mostly quite serious, quite homogenic. And just the serious description of how the owners of the mines are bad and how we are creating the new socialist future. So there were many songs that were not good enough for the new people. There is no evidence of a direct censorship concerning the book. The main editor of the book, Olga Skalnikova, in an interview conducted in 2005, shortly before her death, she was asked whether there were any political pressures when they were preparing the book, and she told no. We could do anything that we wanted. Nobody was making any pressure on us. So, and there are, even in the archives, there is no evidence of any censorship, direct censorship. So it seems like the authors and researchers themselves, they had this idea how it should look like, what is the proper way to present this national music. So kind of an auto-censorship that was at work there. So this example shows how the process of creating the right image of the nation started at the level of regional research. The next step was to show how various regions together formed a nation. At some moment, regional differences had to be put aside or to be dissolved in the favor of the whole. And when we move one level up, the nations of socialist states formed together a brotherhood of nations, kind of a meta-nation connected to the political idea. This approach, combining distinct regional characteristics into an image of the nation, was also reflected in the folk revival movement. The revival groups have been documented in Czech lands as early as the late 19th century, and the first half of the 20th century saw an increasing number of people recreating music and dances, which they saw as endangered and disappearing. But again, with the entrance of the communist power, this movement has gained new energy and new direction. And ensembles were founded under the patronage of state companies or factories, and existing ensembles were transformed. Besides the large number of small local ensembles, large state groups or ensembles were founded to provide music and dance for large audiences, for media, and to represent the socialist folk culture abroad. This was the case of so-called Czechoslovak State Ensemble of Song and Dance, which existed between 1948 and 1991. The process of creating a new repertoire of songs reflecting the new social and political situation, which I mentioned with Roma people, was applied to the folk songs in general, and for some time many folk ensembles were playing songs where young men were riding not a horse but a new tractor, and their shirts were not decorated with flowered motifs but with a red scarf, a symbol of socialist youth. However, this trend did not last long, as many people grew tired of it. The approach of creating national image from small regional pieces also found its expression in folklore festivals, of which the most important and still active is the festival in Strážnice in southern Moravia, which continues until today. It started in 1946. In the movies of the time, we can find several examples of folk music as representation of the new nation, but probably none of them is more instructive as one called Zítra se bude tančit všude, Tomorrow they will be dancing a river from 1952, directed by Vladimír Vlček, with a screenplay co-authored by Pavel Kohout, who is famous writer and who then in 1960s turned away from the communism and left the country. It is a story of a small folk dance ensemble on its way from modest beginnings to a grand finale on the International Youth Festival in Berlin. The film shows how the original cultures were at the same time highly prized and, on the other hand, quickly dissolved in the mix if necessary. We follow dancers on their excursion to Valašsko region, which is in the eastern part of the Czech Republic, to learn authentic songs from village people, only to see later a performance mixing costumes, songs and dances from every part of Czechoslovakia with a traditional ensemble pretending to play while we hear in reality a symphonic orchestra. The dramatic plot involves two members of the ensemble who want to corrupt the team effort. And so now, too short, do we have still time?
Yes.
Yes, just two short examples. So we have two villains from the film, and there is also important the musical symbolics. This is not one thing. So like that voice had to be accompanied by jazz music. So these are two men who want to become part of the ensemble only to take it for themselves to become leaders, and he's explaining that when they will be the heads of the ensemble, they don't have to work in a factory. So that's the folk ensemble as a way to avoid work, and he's also saying that I've decided to study ethnography because nobody understands it. And he expresses contempt for dance and ethnography. So they are really don't like this, but they want to just to avoid the work. So it's the typical bad boys from the socialist era. And you see all the necessary attributes, the modern art, abstract paintings and jazz music. So the plot of the movie, the story is not exceptionally logical and strong. But finally, there is a happy ending, including an atomic bomb and a multicultural community of people celebrating the fact that in communism it is possible to be national, nationalist and internationalist at the same time. And so this is the grand finale. The Festival of Youth in Berlin, where the folk ensembles present there. Thank you. you have musicians behind pretending to play, but the music, authentic music, is not important. The important is somehow the idea of the nation transformed through the symphony orchestra and dancers have costumes from every region, Czech Republic, including some just like working workers' dress. So, like this unity in all those regions.